Hi, folks. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and welcome to Good Growing with the Garden Gal, Teresa Williams. This program is to help you become a good steward of your own natural resources, whether you are a farmer, a backyard gardener, into forestry, or animal husbandry. Our goal is to provide information and educate you. So, Teresa, tell us a little bit about your background, who you are, who and who you're with, and what we will be discussing.
Okay, thanks, Jelaine. My name is Teresa Williams, as you said, and I work with the Wexford Conservation District, which is a local unit of government, and every place in the state of Michigan and most other states in the U.S. has a conservation district. And conservation districts are there to help people be stewards of their natural resources, which means their soil, their water, plants, animals, even the air. And today what we're going to be talking about is how to prepare for those spring frosts, both the maybe some planting, and what do you do when you got an oh no situation coming up?
You mean a spring frost that comes in June
or something like that that you don't really expect. We're also going to take a look at tillage, the pros and cons of tillage, and our crop of the month this month is carrots.
Okay. Well, before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we always come to you first, thanking you that you love us so much. And Lord, this time of year, everything's coming back to life, and we're just so thankful that you give us the opportunity to, in an essence, be a creator. We plant something and watch it grow, because that's what you've done. You've planted us and watch us grow, too. And we just pray that our listeners would be blessed and learning more about being better gardeners. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so let's talk about spring frost. I mean, because a lot of people have already maybe started their gardens inside, mm-hmm. you know, started plants. So how do you know when it's okay to, because I know being married to a farmer, especially corn, mm-hmm. I have heard that the ground needs to be 55 degrees for that corn seed to grow. Well, how does a gardener know when the ground is warm enough to plant and that it's going to be okay? The only thing is we're not in control of the weather. Like you said, June we could get a frost.
Yeah, and this year's been crazier than most in terms of weather. To know when, there's two questions there. One is air temperature and one is soil temperature, and they both matter, Jelaine.
Okay.
So air temperature, we've got wonderful weather services like the National Weather Service can give you a forecast for a week. They can even give you out 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. So one is paying attention and also knowing your crops. In terms of some crops like spinach or beets or carrots, they're fine in the colder weather. Now, tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, they're not going to tolerate the cold. So it's a bit about knowing what you can set out in the cooler weather and what you need to wait until. They talk about the weather being warm and settled for things like pumpkins, squashes, cucumbers, tomatoes, peppers. And in terms of soil temperature, I'll let you in on a secret.
Okay.
I have an instant read meat thermometer. It does double duty in my garden.
Okay. So well, that's, how do people, you know, find out what the temperature of their soil is so
that's
they can use
I
a meat thermometer.
Yeah, that's what I do. As long as it has a range, you know, there's some that don't even start till 100 degrees.
Yeah.
You want one that's going to tell you right what it is. I mean, mine has a range of below zero to well above boiling.
A meat thermometer?
Well, that's what it's called, but obviously it's used for a lot more than just meat.
Okay.
But one of those instant read thermometers, a cooking thermometer, mm-hmm. It's a cheap and easy way to use in your soil. It just wash it off really well in between uses.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
But you do want to get to know your crop to know is this one, like lettuce you can put out early, spinach you can put out early, but just pay attention to, is it an early crop or a late crop? And knowing, wow, you know, we have this great big body of water to the west of us called Lake Michigan, and that actually influences when your last spring frost is or your earliest fall frost quite a bit. There's nearly a month difference between the shoreline and 50 miles inland.
That's us,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And what happens is as water passes over Lake Michigan, as air passes over Lake Michigan, it's moderated. So in the spring, that lake water's cold. So they might not really warm up by the lake shore, but here on the inland, we're far away from that influence, so it gets warmer here. So there can be a significant difference in when the last spring frost is or the first fall frost. And for us in Wexford County, a lot of times we hear people talking about putting their garden in on Memorial Day, mm-hmm. which is a good average for us for a spring frost. But it, as any gardener knows, averages mm-hmm. are not absolute.
No. Nope.
The year doesn't actually pay attention to, okay, what's my average going to be? I need to be my average this year. I like to plan that you could easily have your last frost 2 weeks earlier and you get a bonus, or 2 weeks later and you get a not so good thing. So really, we need to plan that you could have frost to as late as June 11th, and mm-hmm. that's not really out of the normal for here.
No, and that even sometimes there's been July. I know, being married to the farmer, there's yeah. been some cold
it's
weather.
Happened. Mm-hmm. It's happened.
Yep. Okay, so let's talk about, sometimes I see people have plastic on the ground.
Uh-huh.
And so I think, for one thing, that can help with your weeds. But does it help the soil in getting warm? I guess I'm thinking, because plastic can be warm.
It depends on the type of plastic that's being okay. used. If you have just clear, regular contractor's plastic that you might pick up at a big box store, that will let light through. And what that will do is it's going to warm the soil. It's also going to sprout a lot of weeds for you. But if you put that on a couple weeks early, you can plant your crops earlier because you've got that soil warmed. But they also have mulches that are meant specifically for growing food, and some let through warmth but don't let through the right type of light wavelength to allow weeds to germinate. So they can suppress weeds too. So,
well, sometimes I've seen black plastic.
Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, I think the clear plastic warms up the soil better than the black plastic, but you do need to get the UV treated plastic. Otherwise, in a month, your plastic just breaks into all these tiny shreds, okay. and you've got a mess on your hands.
All right.
So if you plan on leaving that plastic out for more than 2 weeks, you should invest in the type of plastic that's meant to be put out in the sun.
Okay, so like big box stores or garden centers or something, they would have it?
What you would look for is for UV resistant plastic. I haven't seen it at the big boxes. That doesn't mean they don't have it, but I haven't seen it. More of the agricultural supply places would be, okay. have the UV resistant.
Okay. All right. I've also seen people have had plastic milk jugs.
Yeah.
You can see them out there. Now, that helps to, besides if it was going to frost, you could cover up, but that helps if they wanted to plant a little early.
Yeah, it makes like a little mini greenhouse. And not only does it help with planting early, but it helps with hardening the plants off. I grow a lot of my own transplants, and if you grow transplants or if you buy transplants, you know that when you take them out from the very coddled and taken care of atmosphere of where you've been growing them, and you're sticking them out into your garden, there's a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
So people talk about, how do you reduce transplant shock? Well, if you have a small seedling, of course, this only works on small ones because milk jugs aren't very big. When you plant it, you can put a milk jug with the bottom cut off over the top of it, put some soil up around the side so the milk jug doesn't blow away on a day like today, mm-hmm. and don't put the cap on. And what you have is this nice sheltered place where the plant can adapt to outdoor growing conditions, be protected from frost. It really can be helpful if you're transplanting, but you need to drink a lot of milk or find somebody who does.
Yeah. Okay. So what you do is you cut the bottom off,
mm-hmm.
and then you leave the top off so that
Correct.
There's some air that can go
right.
through there.
It'll scorch the plants if you leave, you know, just get too hot
too
in
hot.
There if you put the cap back on. So you
okay.
want to be sure to take that cap
so
off.
So it helps to, like you're saying, a mini greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice and warm,
mm-hmm.
and then if there's a frost, it will protect, right?
Mm-hmm. Not a hard freeze, but a frost it will protect from. And it protects it from the wind as well while it's getting established there in your garden.
Okay. All right. Now, what about some other things that you can do? What, you know, some other products or, I mean, I know people have hoop houses or, mm-hmm. is that what you, I'm not sure what all you call it.
Sure. Hoop houses are plastic covered structures that aren't heated. That's That's the key, is there's no heat. A greenhouse would be something that would have heat. That's the difference between the two. If you, you know, I can give you a few options, different ends of the financial scale. Something that's pretty low cost and easy is to just get this product called Floating Row Cover. It's a spunbond polyester, and it comes in different weights, and it's like a blanket you can put over your crops. And not only does it give it just a little boost on warmth and protection from frost, it can protect your plants from destructive insects as well.
Oh.
And you can go to a store and buy what we call number 9 wire, which is a fairly stiff wire but very bendable still, and just put some hoops in the ground. Put that row cover over the top of it, and you can put that up in a very short amount of time, and it's not a large investment.
So how high are you going to make the hoop? You know, and I'm thinking, so you're taking a piece of wire, so to speak, and then you're putting one end into the ground.
Yeah, making an arch.
Yeah. But so how high would you do that?
It's how high your plant is going to get that you want to grow under there. You know, if you're only looking for a couple weeks, then you don't need it very high. If you're looking for a full season because you also want to use it as a crop protection mechanism to keep those insects off, then you have to think about, well, how tall is this crop going to get? And if it's a very tall crop, instead of the wire, you might want to get some PVC pipe and bend it, or even some metal conduit pipe and bend that.
Okay.
And then you can, you know, up it a bit, and you can use greenhouse plastic. It's a little bit more expensive, but more protection, more warmth. And then if you really want to go whole hog with extending your season, you can erect one of these unheated hoop houses. And some of them are designed to even stay up through the winter, and you can do year-round harvesting.
Okay, so how big is that, approximately?
Most of them start at 12 feet wide and go to between 12 and 30 feet wide. Again, depending on your price point, how much you want to spend. You can do homemade do-it-yourselves at 12 feet, but commercial ones usually are at about 30 feet wide. And then as long as how many hoops you want to put in the ground.
Okay. So most home gardeners, it wouldn't be that, I mean, it still could be 12 feet wide, or could it be less?
If it's less, then it's really more like you're covering a bed rather than something you're walking in. A hoop house implies that you can actually walk inside of it.
Okay. So average cost from what to what do you think something like that runs?
You know, we've made some at our house.
We
made our own hoop house.
How did you make your own hoop house?
Well, we went the easy route, but not the stays up through the snow route. And we bought exterior grade PVC pipe, and we made bendable hoops out of them, and we fastened those PVC pipes, screwed them into some electrical conduit that we pounded into the ground, and then we took a long length of it and made it run the length of the hoop house and screwed it together, screwed the ridge pole to all the hoops.
Now, the ridge pole would be at the top.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, so it's tall enough so you could walk in it.
Tall enough that we could walk in it.
And what are you covering it with?
We covered it with greenhouse plastic.
Okay. Okay. So if you're doing it yourself, it'd be a lot cheaper.
Be a lot cheaper, yeah.
Okay.
A little bit more sweat equity, but you can buy turnkey ones. There are companies that will come and do all the work for you. So it's how much of your own labor do you want to put in?
Let me ask you that. If somebody wanted to buy a hoop house, are they going to be able to go locally to any of the agriculture stores or big box store and be able to buy it and then assemble it? Or do they have to hire, you know, they buy it from somewhere and somebody comes and does it for them?
There are some companies, not that I know of in Wexford County, but certainly in northern Michigan, who you tell them, I would like a hoop house, please, and they come and they build it for you.
Oh, okay.
And there's also a big one down in Ann Arbor. So there are companies who will come and erect it for you, but I don't know of any in Wexford County where we have that service available.
Okay, that they could come and build one.
I mean, they'll come to Wexford County, but yes. I don't know anybody whose headquarters
are here. That's local here. Mm-hmm. Maybe somebody up in Traverse City. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
There's some in Gaylord. Okay. There's some near Petoskey.
Okay. So now the doing hoops, it depends how long you want it to stay, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're just going to do it just to get so you can plant, get started till, you know, summer, hopefully June, it's not going to frost anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take that down.
Yeah, you can. Or you can leave it up. As long as it's that UV-resistant plastic, you could leave it up. As long as you have good ventilation, it's got to be ventilated. Otherwise, you'll cook your plants.
Okay.
And that is nice for crops like peppers and eggplants, which here can be difficult to get to maturity because we just don't have that much heat here. And you can leave it up in the summer to get those crops that love the heat going and producing earlier.
Okay. If you're going to do any of the hoop houses, whether it be the low one just to get started, how much more time? Because if you're not doing anything, I'm waiting till I'm pretty sure no more frost,
mm-hmm.
which, like you said, is maybe Memorial Day weekend or in June. I know I've planted some stuff in June, made sure it was not going to frost anymore. So if I'm going to do this, want to extend my growing season in mm-hmm. my garden,
mm-hmm.
how much time am I going to get?
Well, if you think about the milk jugs, that gives you about a week because your plants are going to grow. If you think about a hoop house, easily 2, maybe even 3 months, depending on what you're growing. And if you double up on your layers where you put one of those low hoops inside of a hoop house,
oh yeah,
then you really add up the benefits. They're cumulative. So you could be planting in early April if you had a system like that.
Okay, but now you said a greenhouse definitely has heat.
Yeah, that's a definition, is it's heated.
Okay, it's heated. See, I guess I'm just thinking, well, I thought I've seen their greenhouses, but they don't have heat. But they're glass or something, you know, but they're...
You know, it's a term we use in agriculture, and maybe other people use a different term, but in agriculture, if we're talking greenhouse, we're
it's
thinking something that has heat in it.
Okay, mm-hmm. And the hoop house, whether it's a hoop house that you can walk in or the low hoop,
mm-hmm.
they're not heated.
Correct.
It's just whatever the, because of the plastic, the garden variety, whatever you're saying, helps though to keep some of the heat.
Right.
Because of the sun.
The sunlight comes through, it warms up the space.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. What else do we need to know about preparing our
spring frost?
Yeah, the spring frost.
Well, there's the Band-Aid solution, which is where you didn't, you know, you thought you were planting at the right time, and all of a sudden Mother Nature decides, well, you know what, I'm throwing a cold front at you. And boy, I sure found frost blankets have saved my crops a number of years, and they're worth the investment.
So what, describe what a frost blanket is.
Sure. At its very basic level, you know, if you have a few tomato plants, you can take a sheet and throw it over your crops to protect them
just
for a night.
Just a sheet that you
just
put on your
an
bed.
Ordinary sheet.
Yeah.
But most of the time, we don't want to take our sheets out to the garden.
Right.
We'd rather they stay inside. So it's that same type of material as the row cover fabric. It's just larger. Blanket implies a larger dimension.
Okay.
We have, at our place, we have 3 frost blankets that are some of that heavy weight spunbond polyester, and each of the blankets measures 30 feet by 50 feet.
Oh, those are big.
Yeah, so they're big. So we can protect a lot of things with that. And it's, you know, it's a bit of an investment up front, but the number of times it saved our crop has been well worth it because we've had them for probably 15 years now.
That's what I was going to say. You should be able to keep it forever.
Mm-hmm.
So now you, okay, so I'm thinking, yeah, blanket. You're going to lay that down.
Uh-huh.
Are you putting dirt on it? Are you putting rocks on it to hold it? Because what if it's windy?
Yeah. Yes, you have to do something to hold it down. Rocks are good. Logs are good.
Mm-hmm.
Sandbags are good.
Okay.
But you do need to have, exactly right. If there's any wind, they'll blow right off.
And sometimes, hopefully that's just one cold front,
uh-huh.
because then the next day you want to take it off, or is it okay to leave it for if there was going to be kind of a cold front for a couple of days?
It's okay to leave them on.
Okay.
Yeah, we've done that when it looked like we're going to have 2, maybe 3 days of cold weather. We can leave them on. We don't like to leave them on for more than that because they do block the sunshine, and like they're a bit heavy.
Okay.
And so we don't want to smush the plants.
Yep, smush the plants. All right. Well, folks, it's time for us to take a break. And so if you just happen to tune in, you are listening to Strong Tower Radio today. I'm Jelaine Fenner, and you're listening to The Garden Gal, and we're talking about getting ready for this spring season of planting. So stay tuned, because the next topic is going to be the pros and cons of tillage.